Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all you need. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday night here in Lexington, Kentucky for episode number 274. And this is Stephen Zimmer joining you tonight with two awesome co-hosts, the one, the only R.G. Westerman, and then also the man from a little farther to the south in Tennessee, Daniel Dark. Hello, everybody. Welcome. And yes, I'm back here after a few days of traveling. So how are you all?
I'm good. You go first, Daniel.
Go first, Daniel.
I wish that the air quality would change down here a little bit. I don't know about where are at, but we have.
Well, I've. You know, what happened?
We've got the sand, you know, coming in from the desert and. Then the wildfires coming in from the west, so
we have no
actual oxygen in the air right now, I don't think.
Oh no,
that's not good. We need oxygen. That's important.
Yeah.
Well, seal up your trolley there,
and tomorrow then if y'all didn't get it today.
Oh yeah. Geez, well.
If it's there, it'll probably be here in about 12 hours.
Right. Yeah, you're not too far from us. Yeah. But I just got back in town myself from some days in the nice Kentucky sun and you know, forests of southeast Kentucky, and visited Laurel River Lake and took a few days off to try to resuscitate myself after Imaginarium. And Holly was, of course, with me as well. And it was a good trip. And definitely today it was a little tough to get back to business, but it's I could have used 2 weeks down there, but nice place. It's like I call it the Kentucky Caribbean because the water is clear. I mean, like, you know, I could be standing in 6 feet of water and see all the way down with ease. And that's not the norm for Kentucky water, you know, for sure. And and the water is warm and wonderful, and it's just a beautiful place and actual sandy beaches. So it's a gem. If you haven't explored it yet and you're in the Kentucky area, check it out. Laurel River Lake. It's a little less crazy than Lake Cumberland, but it's one of the best kept secrets, I think, in the state. It's awesome. And they have a marina nearby called, you know, guess what? Holly Bay. I'm not kidding you. The marina's called Holly Bay. So it's almost like, it's almost a sign that was like a perfect spot for us. But yeah, Holly and I both agree we could have used a few more days, but hey, I mean, I'm not complaining. It's the first any vacation of any kind I had in over 9 years. So that was good.
Wow.
So, but had to start to read a new
Imaginarium every year. That's like a vacation.
It's like a vacation. Well, I hope for the attendees it is. I certainly hope it is. But yeah, it's kind of I was beaten up going into it, and then coming out of it, I was even more beaten up. And so, yeah, pretty much the first about day of being down there, I was kind of, you know, in a near just catatonic state, just trying to just revive myself. But it was good. I got to do some reading, got started another Paulo Coelho book, The Pilgrimage. Paulo Coelho fans might know of that one, his first. So it was a lot of fun. You know, got to read, got to unplug, untether myself from social media and computers and everything like that. So, yeah, it was nice to take a little break and enjoy the sunlight for a change. Yeah. But I'm glad to be back. And and ready to hit the ground running. And tonight it's going to be awesome because we got a super cool guest calling in about 10 minutes here, and going to be a really cool show and a good way to kind of get back in stride here. But yes, Daniel, how have you been doing? You've been just doing the trolley adventure over the last week, or what's been going on?
Yeah. Let's see, since last time we talked, had the trolley down, had it back up, had it down, had it back up. And then worked out of it this weekend and stuff like that. And the day the air quality outside was so bad and the temperature was so high that I didn't even take it out today.
No, I don't blame you. Don't blame you. Yeah, you got to be able to at least have decent conditions to operate in, especially when you're doing the cigar thing and everything like that. Yeah, you can't have awful air and then intense heat. Yeah, I'm sure it's not too good. So hopefully that'll clear up there. But no, I know RG has been kicking some butt lately, because I know she's going to be actually taking the guest chair in a couple of weeks. Won't be co-hosting in a couple of weeks. She'll be in the guest chair because of all the new stuff she has going on. So that's going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a different hat on for that episode.
Well, yeah, we won't be able to tell since it's an audio podcast, but we'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I'll just be like, I've never been here before.
Yeah, but I'm excited because I have my copy of Falling Embers. I made sure to purchase one before I completely lost my mind at the end of Imaginarium and got my copy. So I'm looking forward to the discussion and definitely like how it turned out. The book, the physical book. That's of course you got to have a physical book. You know, that's the thing to buy.
Yeah.
But looking forward to discussing that in depth. That's going to be a good show here, and I believe it's August the 4th, I think, is when you're coming on. I think that's what I had the ledger here.
And I have a couple
I'm getting my brain back.
I'm trying to make the round, so if anyone has a podcast out there in listener land, if anyone has a podcast or a blog that I can, be on or whatever, just, send me a message on Facebook or through my blog, rgvesterman.com.
And she's a great guest, folks. I mean, if you are a host, she's an awesome guest to have. She's one of the only people that can entertain a crowd when dead air threatens, when technical difficulties go awry. So,
I'm like, you can't stop it. I'm tap dancing right now.
She can handle the pressure even. So, it's perfect guest to have. And hello to Sandy Lender.
Broadway.
Yes. Joining us in the chat room so far. We've got Sandy joining us just in time because we're about to do our sponsor recognitions, and Sandy is one of our sponsors this week. And, of course, we also get to answer the famous question from the one and only Ren Garcia, man behind the League of Elders series. That's the duo this week in our sponsor list, and Sandy's, of course, got her new spot. And we'll go ahead and run that, and then we'll go to Ren and get to answer that question that we love to answer at the end. So here's Sandy Lender, one of this week's show sponsors.
Fantasy author Sandy Lender wants to take you on vacation. All you have to do is grab one of Sandy's many spec fiction titles and let her sweep you away. Get ready to cheer for strong heroines, multifaceted zombies, and, of course, all those fabulous dragons. Follow Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform to select your next summer vacation destination.
Thank you, Sandy. And yes, I am working on that jingle for you, I promise. I did get another line, and I will go ahead and reveal it. Sandy Lender, a genre blender. There you go. Little teaser on what I'm working on for you there, Sandy.
Nice.
But it's all about your literary brilliance and how you can write in so many genres and blend them beautifully. So there you go. Got the second line at least there live on the show. And I don't sing often for good reason, but you got a special treat tonight. And here we go with this one's for Ren Garcia. Oh, it was. I know you're impressed. here's Ren Garcia.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Who wants to take it? Daniel, you want to answer it first?
Negatory. I'm not weird enough. I'm weird, too weird, man. I'm too weird.
too weird.
All right, RG.
I'm
only mostly weird, which means slightly normal. When you're all weird, there's only one thing you can do.
Well, I'm saying I'm at least weird enough in a good way, but yeah, at least weird enough there, Ren. So thank you very much, and to you, Ren, and to you, Sandy, for sponsoring the show this week. Oh, I always love that ad. Yeah, cause at least we get to interact with the ad in a way. That's just fun.
Interactive, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I think Sandy actually heard my second line. I think that's what she's talking about here in the chat room. Not sure if that's good or bad response, but at least you got a laugh out of it, I think. But that's good. Oh, that's fun. I do have actually several more lines, but I didn't want to totally like just, you know, chase off our audience because we have an amazing guest tonight. So I'll save that for the next show, maybe. Yeah, we'll dull it out in bite-sized pieces, you know, as I construct it. So we won't torture you all too much. I've been talking to Sandy about that for a while, the Sandy Lender jingle that I'm working on. I'm checking the time here. Yeah, our guest should be calling in here in a couple minutes. But what do we have coming up near in the near future? We've got, well, I mentioned that RG is going to be on the show as a guest on August the 4th. But do you have anything you mentioned that you were actively booking podcasts and other things. Do you have anything going on in that area right now on the map, or are you doing any live signings coming up here?
Well, I'm still working out some dates and stuff, but I am going to be doing some live stuff coming up with the Henry County Library here in Eminence. So if anybody's local, y'all need to come on in. I might work something out to be in Lexington. I don't know yet, but, you know, that's a possibility, which would be awesome. I'd love to have everyone come out. That would be so cool. And then I'm in talks to do a couple of podcast spots coming up, which they're not finalized yet, but I've got some stuff in the works.
Well, don't forget to keep me posted on the Lexington. Yeah, Lexington stuff, keep me posted.
Yes.
Because, we should be able to make it out to that one.
Yeah. And I've got some, I've got a pending, potentially another movie project, but I can't really say anything about that just yet. Apparently I'm a producer now. And Nobody's Listening is still in post. I'll keep everyone updated on that.
Nice.
That's about it right now.
See, I knew it. I knew the indie film bug would get you. you're back
God.
In it.
Oh, fun. Well, and there's a couple. I can't see. There's so many things I can't say yet because it's all still like pending.
Tease these things.
You can
tease the audience with little mysterious references to projects and have them speculating. That's half the fun. I've got one myself, which I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about publicly either, but mainly also in a producer sort of role. But I've got one I'll be working on this fall, a short film project. It's a period piece involving a very famous character franchise and should be a lot of fun. So I need to find out what I can say publicly so I can talk about it just a little bit.
Right.
But it's going to be a really good piece with a really good team being put together. But, it's the only thing I can say is, yes, it's a period piece sent way back in the mists of time. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that'll be later in October. It's October, November time period. So I'll give some updates on that as we go. And, of course, book projects, because I had several. I have several done. They're ready to be edited. So now that Imaginarium is over, we can hopefully get those through the editing pipeline and a few more book releases going this fall, too. So, yeah, I'll be very busy with that and a new YouTube channel, kind of a relaunch, both for myself and for the Seven Star Press channel. But we do have a good game plan. We've got a lot of new gear that's been assembled over the past year, and so they're going to look sound nice. Can't wait to get that started. And when I do, yes, you, RG, and you, Daniel, definitely be guests on that, because I am going to have author conversations for certain, and cool. filmmaker conversations. But those are going to be a lot of fun. I will carry those on a few, more than one video platform, too, so you get some cross-platform exposure, which should be a lot of fun for everybody. So we'll see how that turns out. But that'll be coming on pretty soon here.
Awesome. I have been going back and watching some of the replays of the virtual convention.
Yes.
And there's a lot of really good content there. I've watched John Pica's marketing workshop, and I went back and rewatched the mental health panel on how mm-hmm. to write, how to live with and write mental illness. And I was actually on that panel, but I went back and watched it again because there was so much that was said. You know, it's hard to absorb it all when you're there live. But I've watched both of those. There's a lot I'm going to continue to watch. I love it. I love having the virtual side because, like, I can just go back in and watch stuff that I didn't get to attend.
And you can do so all the way up to July the 11th, because it runs about August 11th or so, because it runs a full month after the live event ended. You can access those files for another month. So, that's a cool aspect. Yeah. I love that about the virtual. And I'm going to actually look over a few of those myself, the ones that I haven't gotten to see yet. So I'm going to take advantage of that as well. But we have our guest on deck. And our guest is the force behind our intro. We debuted the new intro tonight, and I didn't mention that on purpose because I want the man himself to talk about it. And he is a wonderful, wonderful individual who is an amazingly talented lead guitar player with the band Far Cry, who we're going to be talking about a lot tonight. He is also a restaurateur with Tap Room on 19th in Philadelphia. And if that isn't enough to keep him busy, he also is the host of the internationally acclaimed melodic hard rock radio show Friday Night with Fry. And, of course, now you know who it is, the one, the only, the man himself, Pete Fry. Welcome to the show, my friend. Your
Yay.
Mic is on.
Hey, sweet. How you doing, man?
Good to hear you, man. Finally, we catch up.
I'm so sorry about the last time. I'm kind of a moron, so sometimes I mess stuff up
fine.
In my calendar.
You are fine. It's just good to catch up with you. RG, Daniel, and I are looking forward to talking with you tonight about everything. And I'm very excited because I absolutely love the new album, Balance, third Far Cry album. Of course, following two albums that I also love. This is your third release. Of course, we're talking about 2008 and 2011 releases, High Gear and Optimism. But, yes, Balance is the current topic, and congratulations on it. Sounds great. Songs are great. And of course your playing is, as always, is phenomenal. But how's it been since, you've been out for just a little bit, but I noticed the reviews have been great tell us a little bit about the response and how it's going so far.
The response has been really good. I mean, it's nice to be working with AOR Heaven, releasing the album. They really do everything 100% professional, right across the board. Everything he said he would do, he did. We're still getting a lot of, a lot of reviews, a fair amount of interviews, and, he's doing it the right way, and that's helped us a lot. in the background, what we're doing to help with that is we're doing full band rehearsals, and we're out there looking for some gigs. So that's always a challenge, because nobody's really sure if we're going to stay open, if we are open, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just trying to kind of, you know, get into those uncharted waters and get out there and get some really solid gigs.
I understand, because, I mean, as RG and Daniel could tell you, you know, we just got done with the 8th Imaginarium, and we had to plan for this year. We did a live event and a hybrid event. We had both going, and one of the things that was lurking in the background with us was that factor, you know, are we going to be shut down, or is it going to go on, you know?
Right.
So we had a compressed window ourselves just to get ready for that. So, yeah, we understand totally what that's like to be planning for things with that, like, uncertainty shadow in the background. That's not fun. But the music is out, and that's the main thing. Our new intro is a segment from your single Balance from Balance. Great. I love it lyrically. I guess this is the first album that you've worked with, your new lead singer, but there's a little bit of a gap between your second album and third album. So I know that that there's a little hiatus there. So tell us a little story about why there was a gap, and then how the third album kind of got kickstarted and set in motion.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I really never planned to do another Far Cry album. I was pretty much certain that ship had sailed. We were done with that. And that was, right around 2012 or so. We had released Optimism the year before. We went and played Firefest. We quit our label at the time, and we're starting to do things by ourselves. Mark had left the band, to concentrate on personal stuff, because he lives out in Vegas, and the rest of us were on the East Coast. So at that point, I was actually starting to work on leaving the corporate life and opening up the tap room. So I was like, you know what, I can't do this right now. I just wasn't really happy with the scene. It just wasn't working out, and I wasn't feeling it at that point. And sometimes you have to step away, rather than just keep going and release subpar products. So I left and focused on things that were a little bit more important, like family and opening a new business. But, not too long after that, I'd say probably around 2015, after a couple years in the bar business, I started getting the urge to write again, and I started playing some music. And then I got an email from an account I had on bandmix.com from our current singer, Bob Malone, who had sent me an email and basically said, hey, it's really a shame we live so far apart. It seems like we could really do some great stuff together. We have very similar tastes. And first of all, he had looked at like some weird, I don't know how he had figured out the MapQuest, but it was like, it looked like I was about 5 hours away, but he might have done some kind of round trip thing and heavy traffic or whatever. But I'm like, dude, I'm like maybe an hour and a half away from you. So let's see what happens. And we started trading stuff back and forth. And before you know it, we had a bunch of songs, and we were like, hey, let's put something together. And then a lot of people came to me, because I had no intention of doing anything under the Far Cry name really ever again. And I started getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people out there, and pretty much 100% across the board, people were like, dude, just bring it back as Far Cry. You're still doing melodic rock. It sounds like Far Cry. Yeah, you have a different singer, but the energy is there. It's, it made sense from the standpoint of, like, we're not starting over. We can play the old material without being like, oh, yeah, Pete Fry and his new band, they're playing some old Far Cry stuff, because that just gets weird. So after talking about it with Bob and the rest of the members of the band currently, we decided we were just going to do it, And here we are.
No, that's fantastic. And you probably got several messages from me during those years kind of nagging you. And, Pete, you need to get out there and do some music. Pete, where, come on, we need some music. I know you have them somewhere because, yeah, during that gap, I was like, yeah, you're too good. I mean, yes, I totally love that you started a great restaurant, but I was like, nah, he's way too good of a guitar player to be not doing music as well. He can do both. I know he can do. And I'm glad that is working out. And I do want to mention, yeah, Bob Malone, I mean, he is one of the things that jumped at me in the new album. I love his voice. Yeah, I love, you know, I guess he had a lot to do with some of the lyrics on many of the songs. And yeah, I think, yeah, he brings a lot to the table with you. And Leo Sabatino on bass guitar, John Giesler, I hope I pronounced that right, on guitars,
correct,
and backing vocals, and Rich Yaniro on drums, rounding out the group. The playing is tight. The production is top-notch. And you guys were recording this during, I know, some of the big mess of COVID era. So I guess some of it was recorded remotely, I'm sure, and you guys weren't probably getting together live. What was the recording process used on this particular album?
You know, honestly, a lot of it was done remotely anyway, and most of it, in fact, the lion's share of it was done before the pandemic, and we do things remotely for the most part. The only thing we did in person at the studio is because I just don't have the capability of recording vocals in my home studio. So Bob went and worked with Paul Crook, who mixed the album as well, who also, you know, has worked with Meatloaf, Anthrax, et cetera. I mean, he's pretty solid. We went in and took him into the studio. At that time, we decided that, you know, we parted ways with our drummer at the time, and we got Rich in the band. And Rich said, look, I really want to come in and record new drums for everything. So we brought him in with Paul Crook, and he recorded on an analog kit. And, you know, yeah, we used some triggers and all that stuff, but that's, you know, live drums and all that fun stuff. And everything really started to come together at that point, because it was very piecemeal from that point, because I do all the stringed instrument recording from my house, whether it's me on guitar or John Giesler on guitar or Leo coming in to do the bass. We record it all here and then kind of fly that into the studio. So we were pretty much done by the time the pandemic hit, and we were already listening to mixes. So the pandemic really didn't have much of an impact on us as far as recording. As far as releasing the album, yes, absolutely. And we actually delayed it because we were ready to go, but there was no point in releasing anything because we certainly couldn't play live. We couldn't even get together personally. So, you know, it was kind of a weird situation. But we were basically done before the pandemic hit.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I'm glad it didn't affect you too much on the recording side, because I know a lot of bands get affected really heavily on that front. You know, that's not even getting into the whole live performance thing. But RG and Daniel, did you have some stuff you wanted to ask Pete about the new album before we moved on to some other territory here?
Yeah,
no,
I've got
I just
one.
Think the, yeah, go ahead.
When it came to the inspiration for this album, besides just wanting to get back together and stuff like that and things happening, what inspired you to put those songs on the album?
You know, it's interesting. Basically what we did is Bob and I had tossed a lot of stuff back and forth. Bob actually wrote himself like 4 or 5 songs on the album. There's a number of collaborations between me and Bob. There's a song that I wrote. There's a song we borrowed from Steve Newman. But basically there were more songs, but we essentially voted on them as a band and said, okay, which ones do we really like here? What do we really want to put on the album? Because, you know, obviously it's a pretty limited budget. So we basically voted on them until we figured out the ones that we wanted to put on the album. And then those are the ones we went in and recorded. And I know some bands have the luxury of like, hey, we'll go in, record 20 songs, see how they come out, and then we'll pick the best 10, and that's the album. We didn't have that luxury. So we just said, basically, okay, let's pick 10, and that's what we'll record, and hopefully it'll come out good. So, you know, that was kind of the inspiration between that, for that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Y'all had already played those songs before, right?
What's that?
Y'all had already played those songs sort of together, so you knew what the songs sounded like.
Yeah, absolutely. We had been rehearsing the songs, and once we started, you know, kind of pulling things together, I mean, like I had basically, when Bob would send me songs that he had written, I would pull them in to Pro Tools and basically re-record them as a demo and then send them back to him, you know, with kind of my influence and my arrangement. And then he would throw his vocals on top of them, and then we would present that to the band. So, and we would rehearse it. So, you know, yeah, everybody had a taste of where the songs were going. So it wasn't like, you know, hey, I guess that'll be a good song. We kind of knew what felt good. But sometimes, when you don't have the luxury, sometimes those things that feel really good to you playing may not be the best ones when you actually hear them recorded. But I think in this case, we're super happy with how everything turned out. You know, to a man, everybody is like, wow, I can't believe how good this sounds. We're thrilled to death.
Absolutely.
Okay.
RG?
I'm probably the most musically least knowledgeable person on this
the
podcast
most least.
Right now. So the most least, yes. So I'm sitting over here like trying to think. I'm like, what's your favorite Jim Steinman power ballad? But no, I'm a big fan. I like the intro song, so I'm just kind of sitting here learning stuff.
Did you know that
Very
we
cool.
did a Jim Steinman song on the first Far Cry album?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we
well,
did
Nowhere
Fast. I
have to check it out now. Wow.
That's
okay.
awesome.
Check it out.
Yep.
Check that out. Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of – I go back all the way to Air Supply and probably even prior to that. So, yeah. When I learned that Air Supply and Meatloaf had the same songwriter, I was like, okay, it all makes sense now. So,
right?
I'll have to check that out.
You go all the way back to Air Supply, huh?
That was the beginning
That's
of
awesome.
Music. That was the first band ever. I mean, it begins with A and everything.
It was.
So.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's literally Air Supply. Like, before that, you couldn't breathe. So, you know.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like Daniel needs some Air Supply down there in Tennessee from what he was saying earlier
yeah.
about the air quality. So,
oh, yeah.
That's
it's
your
really
solution.
Shitty up here, too.
Just so I can get the air quality up.
Yeah. But you'll need some balance, too. So you have to get Pete's new album as well. Yes, Pete. Yeah, I promise you I won't be too punny tonight. I know you, and yeah, I know I have awful puns, but yeah, I won't torture you with too many of those tonight.
Hey, that's okay.
But Bob,
I'm a dad. I'm
but
all
Bob Lyric. But as a writer, though, I thought the new album, and I love the first two albums. I mean, love the first two albums. I treasure my poster guitar pick signed CD pack from High Gear and everything. I love those. But Bob, as far as the lyrical approach to this album, this one really has a great flow to it. It's got a little bit of a thematic connection between all of them. There's a lot of self-empowerment, a lot of uplift, a lot of very encouraging type of lyrical themes. I mean, and in tough times, I mean, this is a good antidote for negativity is the lyrical elements in this new album. I mean, I that struck me a lot. And he's got just such a good voice. Almost gets a little bit like a Firehouse's kind of style lead singer a little bit. I heard a little bit of that just to give people some sort of reference to some of the vocal styling of him. And but well, as far as working with him on the lyrical side, talk a little bit about that because I know that writers always love that sort of talk.
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Bob is definitely a lyricist, and every song he writes tells a story, and he he tends to get away from the, you know, hey, I love you, you love me, let's go out, hot chicks, you know. That's not really his cup of tea. Every song tries to tell a story. I mean, the song, the title track, Balance, is all about, you know, something that, you know, guys our age in a band can relate to, because it's all about balancing life, work, you know, the things that you love, you know. So that's, you know, it's, he tries to be relevant. He takes things that are happening to people that he knows, whether they're relatives or friends, and builds that into a song. So, you know, the things that he writes about are, you know, based in fact and, you know, from his heart, you know, which I think is great. And he wrote, I would say the lion's share of the lyrics on this album. I wrote, like, you know, a couple tracks. One of them's not even going to be on them. One of them isn't even on the U.S. release, but, you know, he's a great lyricist. And, you know, that was a big part of why this really all came together, because he's just so prolific. He has a ton of songs, so more to come.
Yeah, because that's one of the things I noticed when listening to it for the first time.
Yet.
What's that, Daniel?
I said, does he have one called Dad Bod yet?
Dad Bod? No Dad Bods yet. In fact, we're all trying desperately to get rid of our dad bods so that we go on stage, you know,
hey,
but my guitar is in a foot out in
hot.
Front of me.
Dad bod is hot. It's trending right now. Do not diss the dad bod.
That's fair.
It's only dad bod.
But did pop out. I mean, I really noticed that because I was very familiar with the first two, and yeah, just the lyrical flow, you know, it was one of the things that really struck me. And like you said, I mean, I had the wow kind of reaction as a first time listener to the album in terms of everything, you know, production, music. It's like everything's together, Pete. Yeah, it sounded absolutely great. So I hope that, it progresses. I hope that, you know, that, you know, distribution expands, you know, with, you know, some other stuff coming out in the future. And definitely hope the feedback continues to grow, because it's a strong album. And fans that like, you know, the bands, melodic hard rock, I mean, bands like Danger, I mentioned earlier, I made a reference to Firehouse and groups like that. I mean, you got a lot of good stuff kind of flowing into that melodic rock world, and bands that people may not in the mainstream here in the U.S. may not heard a lot, but over in Europe there's great ones like Heat and many that you play on the radio show I'm about to bring up here. But it's a lot of fan base over there in Europe, I think, that would be pretty ravenous for this new release, knowing their scene, especially. But I hope it goes really well.
I think it will, and that's one of the reasons we released it on a European label, because AOR Heaven is out of Germany, so it's officially distributed in Europe and Scandinavia, you know, and you can get in America, obviously. So, you know, that was pretty key for us, because I feel like our core audience, although we do have a lot of fans in the U.S., and I love every single one of them, well, there might be one or two I don't like that much, but that's neither here nor there. But seriously, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, our core audience has always been more in the UK and Europe in general, and Scandinavia, because that's kind of where people, I feel like they're not quite as fickle about the music. They find a band they like and they stay with that band. And they go to the shows and they want to hear new music. They want to hear new bands. And you know, unfortunately in the U.S. we're kind of, you know, a large portion of the country is more of a nation of a nostalgia. We want what we think we used to have, whether it's, you know, politics or music or movies or whatever, you know, oh, it was always better back in the day, you know, whatever. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, there's so many bands that I would pair you with on a tour, like Eclipse, or like I mentioned, Heat, or Crazy Licks, or a band, you know, the UK, The Treatment, that I love a lot. I mean, there's so many bands in Europe that I think would be great for you to do shows with. And so, yeah, definitely, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of hunger for a lot of new music, and yeah, a lot of great bands out of that scene. So it's something that, if you're not aware of it, folks, yeah, you need to discover a lot of this, and you can discover it. And that's a good segue for me to take you on to Pete's radio show, Friday Night with Fry. And we spell Friday, F-R-Y-D-A-Y. And of course, I would be remiss if I did not give a small shout out to some of the gang, because your listeners are called the Frysters. Of course, every Friday it's on Philly Rock Radio and ARFM in the UK. And of course, you can on SoundCloud, you can get the shows afterwards. Tasha Buckingham, Jerry Hummel, Wes Haskins, Brad Davidson, Susan Wong Downs, Jane, Aaron Danko, Donna Smith, the Metal Queen, Luigi Cesaria, Steve French, Rich Seaver, and all the gang. I want to give a shout out just to a few of the Frysters, because I love them, and they're just such fun to Gary Allen, too. Such fun to gather with on Friday afternoons and listen to the show when it's first broadcast. It's like a party in the afternoon, folks. And yeah, if you aren't a member, you got to join the Facebook group and get in on those Friday threads. Even if you're working, cheat a little bit and keep that thread open. It's a lot of fun. And your show is just keeps growing. I mean, it's awesome. It exposes people to new music, classic music, because you play everything from melodic rock to even some heavy metal. I mean, you got some pretty heavy stuff on many of your shows, and you always take 10 requests a week, which are pretty hard to get in on, I might add. So you have to respond fast. But the show is definitely, I think, a good companion to your musical pursuits as a guitar player and in a band, I would think, for you to kind of sit back and absorb what's happening in the music scene and what's new and what people are wanting. It's got to be a good kind of a compilation.
It really is, and the whole reason I started doing it, and I started right about the time that I knew I was thinking about starting to dissolve the band, I didn't want to leave the scene because I knew I was coming back. I just didn't know when or in what form. You know, I'm not even sure I've reached my final form yet. Anyway, seriously.
You're always evolving, Pete.
Right? Seriously. But you know, I when I started doing it was really just kind of like a stopgap measure to just keep my name out there and keep me in touch with the people that I loved and the music that I loved. And you know, then before I know it, it's like, God, I've been doing it like, I guess, 8 or 9 years now, which just boggles my mind. But it's great because I do get a chance to talk to a lot of other musicians in my field and make a lot of connections. And it's just a pleasure to be able to do that. And as the show has grown, I get more and more people contacting me. Whereas when I first started doing it, I would, you know, reach out to people and no one would get back to me, you know, because who the hell is this guy? Friday, what the hell, you know? But now I, you know, I've got, hey, you know, got a new album coming out, really love to be on your show, you know, can I get the single on there? And that's fantastic. I absolutely love that, because you know, to me, the show is, it's kind of evolved from being like, hey, I'm just going to play a bunch of melodic rock for 3 hours. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I love my melodic rock, as anyone who knows me knows. But now I've kind of turned it into more of a, you know, in addition to the melodic rock, I want to play some new music, some of which is maybe not melodic rock, or maybe some classic rock tunes, you know, from the 70s that I just happen to really like and I heard on the radio that week. And, you know, so I just kind of make it, it's kind of like you're hanging out in my living room with me, you know, and sometimes you are. So it is what it is, you know.
No, it does have that feeling. And yeah, what's that, Daniel?
I had some guys in here in my trolley the other day that were from Europe, and we're talking about, you know, different bands and everything. And I turned them on to
a song that had been banned from the radio back in the early 70s called DOA. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not, by Blood Rock.
I have not. Okay.
And it would probably be a song that you like. I've never heard it. I mean, you can play, you can find it on YouTube and stuff now, but I've never heard it done as a replay or anything like that. You know, another band doing it, and you know, they were, you know, talk, you know, I've gotten into talking to people from other countries. Do you speak any other languages besides American? Do you speak German or any of the Scandinavian languages or anything like that?
I don't. Like, I know a few words here and there, but for the most part, it's straight up American English. I can do a passable Irish accent when I'm drinking whiskey, but other than that, not so much. So,
well, a lot of them actually speak English like we do.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you know, if they're talking German or something like that, you know, a lot of times when they find out that I'm on there with them and everything, they'll, you know, like I do lives with them and stuff on cigars, and they'll, you know, break it down to the English instead of just speaking Spanish or just speaking German or something like that. The ones that can, you know, that can speak the English and everything. They'll start talking to me in English and stuff because I can't speak their language. But,
right, and I find that's a pretty common thread with a lot of people all over the world. They know how to speak English in addition to whatever they're speaking, whereas in most cases in America, we know English and that's about it. And they are very very generous in their ability to, you know, just make you feel comfortable in speaking your language, making you feel at home in their environment. Because I do that with interviews all the time. I would say probably almost half the interviews I do are, you know, that's not their native language. It's just mine. And that's all I got, you know. So.
Well, that's where I was going to next. You know, are you doing a lot of, you know, like German interviews and different things like that, or talking, you know, live with their, you know, other bands and everything in Germany and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
considering
and
that's
I've
where you're releasing your album.
Yeah, and I've interviewed, you know, a lot of people from Sweden, lots of Swedish bands, some Finnish people, some German people, like Michael Schenker, for instance. You know, his accent is very strong. That was difficult to understand, but it was well worth the interview. But yeah. So I do that. And then you have stronger accents that are, you know, I've gotten pretty good at interpreting that as well, because even, you know, even if some people are speaking English, it's not their first language and they do have more trouble speaking it. And you have to be cognizant of that as well. You know,
right.
Like when I say something, like certain interviews, when I ask a question, there'll be a delay of like a few seconds. And I know that that's not because they don't know what to say. They're just processing what I said and putting it into their language so that they can then respond to me in my language. You know, so there's a whole process involved, and I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely heard that. Like, and I've learned about some great bands and bought CDs by such groups. Your show costs me a lot of money, Pete. I'm sorry, but every time I listen to your show, I end up ordering CDs. But yeah, like the Work of Art interview, I thought it was a great interview. Swedish band, and that's a perfect example of what you were saying. I could tell that they were doing the, you know, the processing thing as you were asking the questions and responding to them. And but your interviews are fantastic, and I've enjoyed them, and you've interviewed a variety of players and folks, and yeah, the Schenker interview, yeah, that was awesome, and yeah, definitely, yeah, that third hour of your show when you tend to have the interviews is a real treat. Yeah, some good stuff in there, and quite a variety. Yeah, you get a lot of lot of folks from all around the world on that. So, yeah, kudos to you. But we will work on your Kentucky accent once I get you loaded on some Kentucky straight bourbon. So we'll work on that. We'll get you a third dialect for you, along with the Irish one.
Great.
Are you going to do the Appalachian Kentucky? Are you going to do, you know?
We'll do Appalachian region. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll do Appalachian.
Yeah, depends on what county you're from as to what kind of accent you have.
We'll keep it mountain, good mountain, southeast Kentucky. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Pete'll enjoy that. It's a lot of fun.
Or the good old plantation owner,
probably won't do too much of the Colonel Sanders accent or something like that, but we'll do more mountain stuff. But that'll be great. The show itself, I mean, though, it's got a really good community behind it. I think that's something I like to emphasize, though. It's got a very loyal fan base, and you have a good Facebook group. So, yeah, folks that are listening right now, look up Friday Night with Fry on Facebook, and there's a really good interactive group on there. And, of course, you get to, especially with Jerry Hummel's mail hauls every week with 62 new CDs that he bought. Those are always fun. That guy gets a lot of CDs.
Anything else besides Facebook?
What's that?
Besides Facebook. Facebook, Pete.
Is it on anything else besides Facebook?
I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which I've been neglecting a whole lot, but you can find my personal accounts on all three of those as Blue Charvel, BlueCharvel. I have the same username on all of them. So if you're looking for me, that's where I am. And from there, you can probably find my personal Facebook fan page, which is, Pete Fry. And then I've got Far Cry. I've got the Friday Night with Fry group. So I'm all, and Tap Room on 19th, obviously, all of those are me. So, I'm pretty much everywhere, as everywhere as I can get. And no, I'm not on WhatsApp. I'm not on Snapchat. Actually, I am on Snapchat. I used it a couple times to talk to my daughter, and I don't know what I'm doing. So, because I am a dad, so I can't know everything as much as I want to. So.
Pete Fry hits TikTok. That's next.
TikTok for somebody like Pete would blow up.
Oh yeah, I think Pete would be a lot of fun on there. Yeah, Holly's
a lot of
on TikTok.
On TikTok.
Yeah,
Holly's on TikTok.
Holly loves it. Yep, she loves it. But yeah, it does have its use. All joking aside, yeah, and something like what Pete does, and especially with his, we're gonna get into a little bit with Tap Room on 19th, some of his food picks, which definitely falls in the category of food porn, Pete. Yeah, they are awesome. The pictures, but that is definitely a good place for it for sure. But I'm with you, Pete. You can only do so much and handle so many platforms in promoting stuff.
Yeah, it's all about bandwidth.
Yeah, it can definitely spread thin.
Did you ever get Pete a copy of my book?
I can. Yeah, sure can. Be glad to.
Send him a copy. If you haven't done it, send him a copy of the Ketchup book.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get that to him.
I'd love to check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that won't be a problem. Yeah, Daniel did a book on Victorian ketchup, and it's all about we'll go ahead and tell Pete about it. He'll appreciate
it. 200 recipes for ketchup, different types of ketchup, and about 60 different flavors of ketchup in there.
Oh, Jesus.
I would
love
everything
to see
from
it.
A Victorian restaurant and pair them up with different dishes and everything. And if you've got a, tap room bar, type of restaurant and everything, you're doing the type of food that normally would go with that, having different type of sauces that nobody else has.
Yep.
Is a great thing.
That's true. Yeah, you would. Yeah, authentic recipes too, from the Victorian era. So
have the book available at the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get
that. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all, actually.
Yeah, one day I'm going to want to work on the unofficial biography of Pete Fry, and that's going to be one of my book projects one day. We'll get that one sold at the tap room. But speaking of, we have been mentioning Tap Room on 19th, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that. But that is your fine establishment in Philadelphia, and it's a tap room and pub restaurant. It's been going well, and you're one of the ones that I'm happy to say survived the whole COVID mess.
Yeah, and it was obviously a challenge, like it was for everyone else, and we don't pretend that it was easier or harder for us. Everybody, you know, whether you're in a business or personally, everybody was faced with their own challenges. And for us, you know, basically all of a sudden we heard we were going to be shutting down in a couple of days because we heard it through the grapevine, but it was like literally the day before St. Patrick's Day, which fortunately for us, we're not like a huge Irish bar or anything like that, although we do have some Irish patrons and we have some great Irish whiskeys. You know, it's not like one, like for the true Irish pubs in the city, that's a huge, huge day for them. And that's like, you know, they're ordering in advance and basically the city shuts them down a day before it happens. That's, you're stuck with inventory. Everybody's got to go home, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was a rough start and we went right into the takeout only mode because that's all we were able to do. We signed up with third-party food delivery vendors who basically, for people who don't know, when you order from DoorDash, Grubhub, or whatever your weapon of choice is, they're generally taking about 30% of our revenue right off the top. So it's as much as it's helpful as a revenue generator and to keep things moving and keep the wheels greased, it's not very profitable at all. And fortunately, most of the urban areas like Philadelphia, New York, et cetera, were able to pass some legislation that disallowed that level of revenue for the third-party delivery agents and made them, you know, have to do, you know, drop it down to 15% maximum, which was a big help for us because revenue is great, but profit is greater. So it was really tough for us. But, you know, with disaster relief loans, PPP for payroll, we were able to get through it, and then things seemed like they were getting better, and then they weren't, and then we shut down again, and then there was no relief. So at the end of the year last year was really, really tough, and I think that's when you saw like that, because that was, you know, as much as people say, oh, that's the second part of the wave, that was the second part of the wave of restaurants going out of the business. Because a lot of them did at that point. If you made it through that first wave, that second one hit you like a hammer. And you know, without divulging too much, I'm using personal credit cards. I'm like just trying to do anything to stay afloat. And I'm basically trying to come to grips with the very near reality of just going out of business. And that's my retirement. That's everything I've got. That's so.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little rough, but then things turned around and we were able to make it, but it was a really tough one. I won't lie. I was seeing the end at that point. I was like, God damn it.
Well, you know, to give people a little bit of financial on the restaurant, if they're collecting 30% of your food as a fee, that just took your food costs to 50% with zero waste.
Exactly. Or more, depending on you know, what kind of stuff you're doing and what people are ordering, because some things on our menu, very high profit margins. Some things on our menu, not so much. Mm-hmm. But we have to have them for one reason or another.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting because I actually, on occasion, I drive for DoorDash, but I care about small businesses, like passionately so. And so, and I've always wondered, like, how could a person find out that? I mean, other than just owning a business, like, how do you, how, where would those numbers be? Because I'm curious to see that as well, to see if it's something I need to, you know, reconsider.
And that's really the only way is you do own a restaurant, yeah. You open an account with DoorDash because you want to increase your revenue. And don't get
right.
me wrong. I personally use DoorDash myself, and I actually
okay.
ordered ice cream for my daughter tonight through DoorDash. So I'm definitely not dissing the DoorDash business
yeah.
model. It definitely works, but I think when times are tight, like they were,
yeah.
you know, they're reaping a giant reward from the fact that nobody can do indoor dining or on-premises
right.
dining. You know,
yeah.
and they're just like, hey, screw it. We're just going to take as much money as we can get. You know, it was
wow.
kind of time to
and
get
then,
back a little bit.
And
yeah.
in, like, my
yeah.
area, they're double dipping
mm-hmm.
because they
right.
charge the customer for using DoorDash, and then they charge the restaurant
mm-hmm.
for using DoorDash.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, a marketplace has a tendency to self-correct. Like, sometimes it takes...
Yep.
You know, a chunk of time, a couple of quarters, but a marketplace will typically self-correct. And if you can survive that self-correction, you know, or if you can be active, proactive in that self-correction, that's even better.
Right. And that's, and I think that's, it kind of separated the wheat from the chaff in many respects. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's,
yeah.
there's some businesses that were doing a great business, and just because of where they were, what was happening, what you know, the timing and everything, and they just couldn't make it and through no fault
right.
of their own. But I think there's also restaurants out there that were kind of, you know, they were kind of hanging on by the skin of their teeth anyway, so that just kind of
right.
hastened their demise, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like you
well,
said,
just
the market
like
will self-correct.
With me, I was just on the verge of signing a contract for
yeah.
building when COVID hit. If I
right.
had signed that contract, I wouldn't have been I've been able to build out the business and everything, but I wouldn't have been able to open.
Right.
And
right.
I would have been paying rent every month and just
and
dwindling all my money out paying rent without getting anything in return.
Wow.
And for every person that tells that story, there's another person that says, yep, I signed it, and then it happened. So,
yeah.
Really,
yeah.
You know, so I'm really happy that you were in that position where you didn't sign it. But
yeah.
it's just rough.
It turned out
know?
To be.
And
the
now
guy
we're
that
opening
I was
up again.
Trying to do business with was him knowing about it, and he changed the price of the rent like three times on me. So I said, no.
Wow.
School.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
But I've got the trolley now instead, so.
Yeah,
and it's
yep. beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. No, that's definitely a good thing for sure. But I imagine, though, now, though, Pete, at least in our region, I mean, things are, you know, largely, you know, back to an almost normal kind of feel. Are folks here flocking back to the restaurants? Is that also happening out in Philly right now?
Yeah, and honestly, our people are pretty loyal. Because basically, when it comes right down to it, we're not a destination location, although we do get people that will find us on Yelp when they're in town, and they're like, ooh, this place has 4 stars. Oh, people say they love this, you know, and they come in. For the most part, we're a corner neighborhood bar, you know, in a gentrifying neighborhood. So we have, you know, our neighborhood is an old school South Philly Roman Catholic
Cheers.
Neighborhood
Cheers.
That's changing
yes.
to, yeah, it's kind of like that, kind of like that. But we're changing over to, like, you know, young professionals because it is a very safe neighborhood. It's pretty clean. It's, you know, it's very residential.
Here.
There's not a lot of businesses. So
got mainly blue collar or white collar there.
A little of both. I mean, you've got young professional
okay.
families moving down there, but you also have, like, the people that were there that are mostly blue collar, and then you've got a lot of service industry. So we have a lot of we have a lot of regulars that are in the restaurant industry that just frequent our place because we're very friendly to them. Because
awesome.
You know, we're kind of, that's our kind of wheelhouse.
Yeah, family.
Yeah.
Restaurant
yeah,
industry is a family, no matter who you work with.
Absolutely.
That's
and
true.
We take care of our regulars and they take care of us. And, you know, it was tough times and they helped us out and we try to help them out as well. So it all works hand in hand.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I do plan, Pete. I am going to make a pilgrimage there, and I've got the bug to travel again. So hopefully I can get out there in the next sometime in the next few months and take a little trip out east and surprise you in Philly tap room on 19.
I would love that.
Samples.
Definitely let me know. I really got to get down to Kentucky myself because I got to say it's probably one of the few states in the nation I have not been to. And to be honest, my grandfather on my mother's side is from Kentucky, so I should probably hit that up, you know.
Awesome.
I don't know if you know this about our state, but there's horses here.
Yeah, we got a couple here.
Really? No kidding.
I was like, come on, guys.
Well,
play your dog.
Come. Well, one thing that would be fun for you is we do have a very active, of course, you've heard, you know, we're iconic for bourbon distilleries, but we do have a lot of great wineries and microbreweries around the state. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff for you to enjoy on that side, too. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
yeah, some and really good stuff.
That's become true, I think, of almost every state in the nation is that, you know, microbreweries and micro wineries are everywhere. And even distilleries. I mean, actually, I'm drinking. We just went on vacation in Michigan like a few weeks ago, and I'm drinking a Grand Traverse Distilling Old George Double Barrel Rye.
Nice.
Very nice. Nice.
Yeah. I like to keep it
get
interesting.
Get some kick to it.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
But
I like rye because it's kind of spicy. I mean, I like bourbon, and especially the better bourbons. But rye, it's a little less sweet, a little less brown sugary, and a little more spicy kick to it. So.
Yeah, well, wait till I take you to the Jim Beam Distillery. It's the Taj Mahal of bourbon distilleries. I mean, it is amazing. Yeah, wait till you go there. I can't wait. Yeah, when you get near Kentucky, I got some places I definitely want to try to take you to.
I
for
wish
sure.
I was staying in Tennessee longer next month, but I would definitely hit that up.
Well, if you're in Tennessee, you could probably go see Daniel in his trolley. Yeah, what part
are
you going to in Tennessee?
I'll be in Nashville from August 6th through the 8th doing the Rockin' Pod Convention.
Ooh.
Okay, nice.
So, it should be good. It's all about, you know, like music podcasters you know, there's a lot of, you know, musicians going to be there and that kind of thing. It seems to be a pretty good little setup. It's the first time I've ever gone. It's the first time I've ever done a trade show as myself. So I'm a little apprehensive of that, but you know, hey, got to get the Friday Night with Fry name out there, you know? So.
That's awesome. Well, you're going to see some of the YouTubers I follow probably too, because I know a lot of YouTubers have been talking about that, music YouTubers. You know, they've been talking that up a lot. Yeah. Said it's a really, really fun convention, and Nashville is such a cool city. And, yeah, Daniel, you should set up your trolley outside it. then Pete can hit two birds with one stone there. You probably get
If I get him to come down here where I'm at, I'm, you know, like 20 miles from three different major distilleries.
Oh, nice.
One of them being a thing called Jack Daniels.
I've heard
another one's Jim Beam.
Hmm.
Or George Dickel, I mean. George Dickel and Uncle
Yeah, we
Mary's.
Got Jim Beam.
Yeah, y'all got Jim Beam.
Nice.
We got George
Dickel.
They don't
Dickel try and
Uncle
steal their
Mary's.
Distilleries from.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, but you're not too far, yeah, from where Pete's going to be. But that's a great convention. I actually looked at what they were doing there, and I was like, oh, that's one I'd like to just go and hang out at, you know, just see what's happening. It looked like they had a lot of fun, a lot of good activities and stuff. So, yeah.
And
yeah,
and it
yeah
was,
you,
I don't know whether he'll be there or not, but White Rabbit just moved to Nashville last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Cool.
And you'll be 3 hours from me in Lexington, so, yeah, you won't be far at all. Hmm.
If I was driving, I'd come visit you, but you're more than welcome to hit me up.
Honestly. Are you taking the Far Cry jet? Is that what you're taking this time?
Well, yeah, the Gulfstream, sure.
Gulfstream.
That's what we do. Because album sales have been so impressive that, I don't even know what to do with the amount of money we have. So
that's a good problem to have, right?
I wish I had.
Load up on Bitcoin while it's cheap.
I can Uber you in the Prius jet.
Sweet.
No, actually, Daniel can get you about 20 miles an hour on his Oldsmobile motor carriage circa 1901, I believe, right, Daniel?
Wow.
What is it? 1901? Yeah, he can get you a really fast vehicle.
got a huge 6-horsepower engine in it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's a street racer for sure.
No doubt.
A Honda.
Yep. Or
cool.
Yeah, I could
drive
really
a Hyundai.
Yeah, no, I have a Honda Civic. I don't know what the street cred is on that, but
just depending on what model it is, don't leave it parked anywhere because that's one of the top stolen cars in the world.
Oh, really? Hey, if somebody stole a car, you'd be doing me a favor.
what model is
got
it?
Got insurance.
Oh,
yeah,
geez.
Civic is one of them that they make the street rods out of. They change the engines
and do
all that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, they do a lot of mods on those. I had a Civic for years. In fact, I had a Civic right before I bought this car.
It's a great car. Yeah.
Yeah, they're solid. They handle reasonably well. They're good.
Yeah. But rumor has it there's some guy that's made Lamborghini memes with Pete Fry before on the internet. I don't know who he might be, but
wow,
exactly,
classic stuff. Yeah, but getting back to the music here though, because you mentioned August and so forth. Are you? I could be wrong, but I was reading some of your latest updates, and it seemed that you mentioned that you have a show coming up with a certain band that a lot of us love called Queensryche. Is that official, and when's that one taking place?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of good stuff happening because in addition to Far Cry, I play guitar in a couple other bands, one of which is Jaded Past. Which is more of a kind of American rock and roll, you know, I guess like Poison, Bon Jovi kind of style stuff. And we are opening for Queensryche at the Bergen Pack Performing Arts Center in North Jersey for Queensryche. We are the opening band for them. It's really exciting. We just found out a couple days ago that we got the gig. So, it's been a long time since I played a venue that large, so I'm really looking forward to that. And that is August 15th. And then on the 21st, we're playing at another venue called Artie's in Frenchtown, New Jersey, opening for Eric Martin. They're backing him up as his backup band.
Nice.
Doing both Mr. Big and Trickster hits. And Ted Foley's
so cool.
Opening for them. And then we're opening for Ted Poley. So, yeah, so that's
nice.
A pretty solid gig. We're real excited about both of those. We've definitely got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't want to not mention that I'm also in a band called Hit and Runs. And they're finishing up their EP. We finished recording it, and they're just evaluating the final mixes and trying to pull all that together. We're actually doing a photo shoot in like a week or two. so we can pull all that together for the album and everything like that. So hopefully gigs will be coming up for them as well. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that as well. But, yeah, I have a lot of stuff going on, and it's just great to have that going on. I'm really hoping this Delta variant thing doesn't become, you know, the nail in my coffin and shut down everything again, you know. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
No.
You went from not playing in any band at all to playing in three bands now, huh?
Well, I've been in three bands. I've been in three bands since before the pandemic, but obviously we couldn't play because there was nowhere to play. So we just basically sat around and hoped for the best, you know, writing and recording and doing things like that, where either nobody had to be in the presence of others or very limited people, you know, wearing masks, distancing, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. But now pretty much everyone almost everyone in all of the bands I'm in are vaccinated, you know, and I realize it's a personal choice and I'm not going to get into the politics and all that fun stuff, but I'm vaccinated and I'm happy about it. So I want to be able to travel and do shit again. So I'm more than happy to make that sacrifice.
Well, that's awesome that, you got those shows coming up, because Queensryche, I think they've gotten a second life since they got Todd Latore in the band, and, you know, and definitely had some great albums, three great albums with him. And, yeah, he even had a fabulous solo album this year, Rejoice in the Suffering, that came out this year. And what
good
a tremendous vocalist. And hope you get a chance to hang out with him a bit, because that would be a cool guy to collaborate with on maybe a future solo project of his or yours in the future. Who knows? But he's such a good singer. I mean, I just have all the love for Queensryche and their current incarnation, though. I definitely want to throw in, I'm happy that Jeff Tate seems to be releasing some solid stuff with Sweet Oblivion. I got their second one, and that was really, really good. So, yeah, good to see him doing some stuff, too. But, yeah, Queensryche has definitely hit a second wind, I think, with Todd, and that should be a dynamite show.
Yeah, so I think that's given a lot of the Queensryche fans that were a little bit disappointed with kind of the post mind crime stuff. It's given them a new lease on life, because basically the new Queensryche with Todd Latore is going more in the direction of like Warning and Mind Crime and you know, the first EP and that more of the darker, heavier stuff. And I think a lot of Queensryche fans really wanted that. And I'm not dissing the post-Mind Crime Jeff Tate output either, because I think there's some really good stuff on there as well. But it definitely turned in a different direction. So if you were looking for the old Queensryche, Todd Latore has brought that back, whereas Jeff Tate is you know, on his own is doing some pretty cool stuff with the Mind Crime thing. But also with the Sweet Oblivion, which I think pretty much he's just a hired gun in that, which is why I don't think he would
that
ever
seems
write
to be
stuff
the case.
Like that. You know, and that's okay. It sounds great. I mean, to me, it's like Queensryche again.
Yeah, to me it was too. It was like older Queensryche, and I was like, wow, he's actually kind of embracing that older Queensryche style again. So that kind of surprised me when I got the first one, and I was looking forward to the second one too. But you're right, that's a kind of a label project from what I can tell from reading through the notes. But definitely a cool thing, and with you playing with vocalists like that, that's going to be awesome. And I know that you've always had a love for Danger Danger, so I'm sure, you'll definitely enjoy hanging out with Ted a little bit. So that'll be a good show all around.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
This is the stuff I grew up with. So for me, I mean, like a lot of what I love about it, in addition to being able to play the music that I love and play it for people that enjoy what I'm doing, I really do like being able to talk to the people that I grew up listening to, whether it's Queensryche or Danger Danger or Eric Martin or whatever. You know, I mean, when I first started doing it again, it was almost surreal, you know, like you're backstage and you're talking to Dave Menichetti and Jeff Keith and, you know, you're like, holy crap.
Right.
That's
There's
right.
rock stars everywhere, man. So.
Well, you belong in that group for sure, and your playing is definitely top-notch, and yeah, I can brag on you. I can. I know you
I appreciate that.
But, yeah, I know my dream pairing is to see Dino Jelusic, the guy from Animal Drive, who pairs up with a lot of guitar players like Magnus Carlsen. He's on his album. He's on a lot of other guitar players' albums that when they do solo albums, and I would love to see a Pete Fry collaboration with him, precisely because he can do the Ray Gillen Badlands stuff just amazingly well. And I know what a Badlands fan you are, and I think that pairing would be just magic. that's my dream pairing, you know, as far as like rock dream pairings. But and then the other one, of course, Pete, because I can't get through a show without bugging you about it, but the vinyl versions of Far Cry albums. But I, you know, that's enough on that. I won't pester you too much. I love vinyl, you know.
No. In the realm of possibilities going forward, not for the previously released Far Cry albums, because that's not anything I have control over, but the new Far Cry album, we are in negotiations and fully planning to have both a vinyl release and a Japanese CD release with a bonus track. So
excellent. I'll be buying more copies.
We are working on it.
No yeah, I want one on my turnstable.
No
I got yeah. you. I'm not holding you to it.
I
but,
want one on my
but if it does,
too. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I want one on my turntable. Now that we're living in the second golden age of vinyl, that'd be ideal. Get a nice 180 gram vinyl Far Cry release of the gatefold package. That would be gorgeous.
You want to and I would
start doing some J-pop too.
Hey, you never know, right? Now we're more of a K-pop kind of thing, you know, Bulgogi and all that stuff. So
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, but that would be fun. That would be fun. So we got about 8 minutes coming up here in the show before we're done here. So wanted to see if there's anything so far that is I have not been able to cover with you yet that's coming up newsworthy-wise that you wanted to get out to the listeners.
Let me see. I would say if you are interested in the Far Cry album, we do have a few autographed copies left of the CD, and we have t-shirts in a variety of different sizes, and you can find all of those at farcryband.net, and you know, so that there's that, so that's important. I definitely want to go for that. And you know, also obviously you know, as you mentioned, Friday Night with Fries on every Friday on ARFM out of the UK and Philly Rock Radio out of Philadelphia, of course. You know, and check out the Far Cry Band Facebook pages, the Hit and Run Facebook page, the Jaded Pass Facebook page, and obviously if you can see Jaded Pass, any of the gigs we're doing up front, I mean, the Queensryche gig is going to be stellar. The Eric Martin gig is going to be awesome. You know, I'd love to see and meet whoever wants to come out and check that stuff out. And, you know, that's what I'm here for. And obviously, you know, after all that, you're going to be pretty hungry. So come to the Taproom on 19th at 2400 South 19th Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19145. That's all I got. How about
nice
that?
Nice segue.
Yeah, imagine that. It's on 19th Street. That's never would have guessed that.
Right? People are like, oh, what street is that on? I don't know. What street do you think it's on?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right there
no,
in the name.
Yeah, you got it covered though. You can come to the show and then go get something to eat and drink at your tavern. So that's perfect, man.
Is it on 142nd?
On 142nd.
Yeah.
Leave it to Daniel.
If it's too stupid to understand it, it's on 142nd.
Yeah, that sounds like a complete rock vacation package. Yeah, come see the show and then go hit the tap room on 19th, and yeah, you can do the whole works and yeah, one day there. That's awesome.
Although,
but,
a little bit of a disclaimer, if you're planning to drive, I mean, North Jersey is easily 2 hours away from Philly. So, you know,
yeah.
Might not be the thing to do in one night, but,
yeah, 2 hours. I mean, I'll drive 2 hours to something here because a couple of the cities around here are about 2 hours away from us when we do concerts and rock shows. So it's possible, definitely. And unless you're driving Daniel's Oldsmobile.
Right, in which case, yeah.
It's about a week or two-week drive for me to get to Pennsylvania.
two weeks.
That's fair.
Oh, man. Yeah, but that would be a fun evening for sure. And I'm glad to see the calendar start to load up with stuff. And also should mention that you do all the Jaded Past also has a live album that's out and available, newer one, I believe, right? 2020 release?
That is correct. Yeah, and actually 2021 mm-hmm. release. It came out in February.
2021 release
here.
February.
Yeah,
I knew it was like right
on
the
edge.
Yeah, right on the beginning here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's out too. So. Yeah, keep an eye on the T-shirt bundles. Oh, go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the Jaded Past album is the first one to feature the existing live band as we have it now, which is me on guitar, Leo from Far Cry is the bass player, and then we have Pete Giordano on drums. He's kicking it back there, and then obviously, you know, George Becker, whose band it is, leading the whole. The whole herding all the cats that we are.
Nice.
it's good, but it's good stuff. And it's just straight up, no overdubs. You know, it's raw. It's what you would hear if you saw us live. So.
Well, that's what I like, those kind of live albums. Yeah. And that's me being a Kiss fan, you know, with Kiss's live album be almost anything but live, you know, Kiss Alive 1 and so forth. But I love the raw live albums. I love those. So, yeah, fantastic. And, yeah, on FarCry.net, I also should mention that you do have a great deal for bundles with your T-shirt and CD included in some good, nice, nifty bundle packages. So, yeah, folks, check those out. Yeah,
FarCryBand.net.
I'm just waiting for you to come out for your apparel line. Some more Pete Fry shirts, man. I know you got to probably stock up on those for all these live shows, but I can't wait.
So what is your schedule at the pub, Pete?
What's that?
What is your schedule at the pub?
I'm generally there, unfortunately, a lot of times because I don't work behind the bar or in the kitchen or anything like that. I'm generally there. Either before we're open or in off hours, like doing inventory, placing orders, that kind of thing, hanging out with my bar manager, talking about what's going on. So I'm generally not there a whole lot, but if I know people are coming in that I know, I will definitely make a point to, open up my schedule and be there. But, you know, being a family man and being in three bands, it's difficult for me to be there at night, you know, with rehearsals and recording podcasts and just being somebody's dad and somebody's husband. It takes a lot of time. So, you know,
and what time is your podcast one more time?
It's on arfm.co.uk, every Friday at 9 PM UK time, which is 4 PM Eastern US, which is where we all are. And then it's on again at 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on PhillyRockRadio.com. And after that, it becomes a podcast on Mixcloud, and you can find it by searching through ARFM, or you can look for Friday, although there are a few other podcasts called Friday, spelled the same way as mine, but not the same music. But you could probably figure that out by looking at the playlist.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Pete, we're coming up on about a little bit over a minute in the show, so I wanted to thank you so much for joining us today. It was great to catch up with you and get your insights on Balance, the new Far Cry album, Taproom on 19th, and everything you got going on. I mean, just a Friday Night with Fry, just phenomenal world you have, and I'm glad you're able to maintain balance with all of that, and family too. So, but thank
nice
you, man.
Segue.
And, Yeah, thank you. And yeah, appreciate you coming on the show, Pete. So you go ahead and with a final thought, and then RG and Daniel, you can take us out.
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, Stephen, always, always, always a pleasure to talk to you. RG, great talking to you. Daniel, always a pleasure. And just anyone out there listening to this, do what you can to support live music, the local bands, your local restaurants, your local anything, because we all need as much help as we can get, you know. So I thank you for listening and whatever else you do.
Awesome. Yes, and I just want to second that. Support small businesses. Support your creatives. If you're a creative yourself, create. you can find out everything about me at rgwesterman.com. It's been an absolute blast hanging out with you, Mr. Fry. And, yeah, we'll see y'all next week.
And I just want to thank Pete for taking time out of his busy schedule to talk with us tonight. And everybody that has been listening to this show tonight and will be listening to it on syndication, please, please, please support everybody local to you, because they need your support and you need theirs. We're a family. We can get through all this together, and hopefully tonight is an inspiration that no matter what's going on in your life, you can always change it and make it better. This is Daniel Dark signing out.